I'm sitting here as a business leader and I'm thinking I want to make it inclusive and welcoming for everyone in their life situations. And then I end up with the collaboration that doesn't work because there is no time in a week when everyone on the team is there at the same time because we want to make it flexible for everyone in their life. So I can't really get people together to actually solve a problem effectively. So if I'm a business leader telling you that, what would you reply, Miroslava?
I think it depends on the... I realized the first time in my in the story of W Tech that in the beginning, the idea was about together female leaders to find their role models to build our new ecosystem. But we created role models inside the community and we help them to become role models. When we are speaking about women in tech or women in business, and when we are looking, for example, on the panelists at the conference, who you will see, women speaking about women in tech problem, sorry, but where are other genders? The role of women changed a lot right now in Ukraine, because if men needs to stay in Ukraine, and most of them, they just can't leave the country. So women started to work more in fundraising, in business development, in selling. So they, we can say that the role changed in companies a lot. And right now, women is like in front of economic situation. You know, without your podcast, maybe I would never thought about it. So thank you.
Looking for smart stats about leadership and personal development? Then sorry, this show is not for you. On The Genius Leadership, we share relatable stories of real people and give you practical tools for personal and professional development so that you can start implementing them right away. I'm your host, Anna Lieben, Mindshifter, helping leaders get from reacting to creating. And Genius Leadership is about elevating humanity, one person at a time. Let's go.
Miroslava, warmest, warmest welcome to the Genius Leadership Podcast. I'm very happy to have you as a guest today.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here today. Thank you a lot for inviting me.
My pleasure. I want to bring all your experience, maybe not all, we won't be able to put it all, squeeze it all in 1 hour of the conversation, but I'm really looking forward to sharing some of your experiences and insights with my audience, our Genius Leaders. So, Miroslava, let's start with who are you and what would you like to share with our listeners for the context of the conversation we're about to have?
I'm a public relations manager. It was my main function, my main job 15 years ago. And 10 years ago, I started my own agency for promoting tech startups worldwide, Slova Tech PR. And then I created W Tech, the community for female leaders. So I can say that I'm community builder now. And I believe that through communities, we can make a lot of changes in our world. And also I'm a mentor. I help startups to find their niche and to work worldwide and to speak their stories through the media with the help of press.
That sounds fascinating. I would like to ask you, why do you think communities are important? And you said that we can do a lot with them. So what's behind this this statement? Why do you think that's important for us to come together?
You know, when I created W Tech, I tell the truth, I didn't understand really the power of communities. So right now I'm speaking about it from my 6 years right now experience. And I saw how communities can help in career, how they can change their perspective. They can help you in your daily life, how they can form your mindset. And I think that if we speak about the main thing about the communities, that we gather around some main idea about around our values. So when we are together and we have and we are sharing some values together, we really can change we can change the world. We can say like this. For example, our communities around the main topic for our community is to help female leaders in their careers and to develop in working life. So our main values is to support each other and to mentor each other and to share the opportunities. And of course, I can see that through these 6 years, we can see just fascinating examples how women can really grow in their career. And I remember a lot of our participants who were like in the beginning of their journey 6 years ago, and right now they're founders of the very great startups. And I think also it's because of help of our, I mean, because of the each other's help and because of this supportive environment, we can say.
What was the background or the idea for building the W Tech? So you wanted to focus on women in tech, and both in the career in general, the career progression, but also the leadership positions, because you've noticed the underrepresentation of women in tech in general as an industry, but also in the leadership, on the leadership levels. So what was the whole idea? Why did you create the community instead of building some, I don't know, tech startup that would be focusing only on hiring women or anything else?
It's a very good question. I wanted to create a startup, but then something happened and I created.
Something went wrong.
Yeah. The thing is that I, as I told in the beginning, my main business is public relations agency. And we work with the tech startups, with the VC, so with tech industry. And once I just noticed that all my clients, great startups, were represented mostly by male founders. And I was all the time only one woman in the meeting room. It was strange. And then I spoke to my friend, to Victoria. And she has a venture fund, very famous in Ukraine and internationally. And I asked her about if she has, I mean, the same perspective as me, because they speak with a lot of startups, they're pitching them. So, I mean, if they're also represented by men or not. And she says that the situation was totally the same. And then I dig a little bit and understood that it's not only about Ukraine, but it's international problem. And really, there are not a lot of women in startups, in the tech world. And I understood that, and also found out the interesting thing, that one of the problems why there are not a lot of female in the tech industry is because we don't have really like role models. We don't see a lot of women who succeed in this area. So we decided to gather these female leaders, firstly in Ukraine, and to help them to find these role models, to find the mentors, to see that everything is possible. Because one of the problems also that a lot of women come to the tech industry, but the problem if they're staying in tech industry or not. So the answer is not, mostly. So it was the beginning of the community. It was almost 6 years ago.
So why are women not staying in tech industry if they end up there? Is that they decide to change the industries? Do you think it's more about the family building when that comes in, that it just becomes too difficult to combine career in tech, which is very dynamic, with nurturing family? What were the challenges there?
I think it's a very complex question. It's very challenging to work in a male-dominated industry, it's for sure. So It's the first thing. And also, if the industry is male dominated, it means that it's the industry, the rules are not adapted to all the genders. For example, maternity, paternity leave, flexible hours for work. So it's also the problem about the adaptation of their working rules for everyone.
which is difficult to do, right? When we think about how can we make it inclusive for everyone. I could easily imagine what I'm trying to be now is the devil's advocate. I'm sitting here as a business leader and I'm thinking I want to make it inclusive and welcoming for everyone in their life situations. And then and I end up with the collaboration that doesn't work because there is no time in the week when everyone on the team is there at the same time because we want to make it flexible for everyone in their life. So I can't really get people together to actually solve a problem effectively. So if I'm a business leader telling you that, what would you reply, Miroslava?
I think it depends on the depends on the company, on the team goals, and also I think that really experienced managers can solve this problem: how to organize a team so they can work in comfort conditions for them and still gain the company goals. For example, I have flexible hours. My team as well, but still we have a good quality of work. We all the time can be at the meeting when it's required. It doesn't mean that we are offline of the things. I think that also flexible hours is not a problem anymore. No, after COVID time, I think that the world really changed a lot, and it taught us that we can find a lot of solution if we still want to work. If we still want to work,
yeah, definitely. So you built the WTAG on this hypothesis that women need role models. They need to come together and learn from each other and support each other. How has that hypothesis evolved in the 6 years? Maybe it has strengthened. Maybe you adjusted it based on the experience you were getting with building the community. What has happened since the beginning?
You know, yesterday when I was thinking about our podcast, I recently realized the first time in the story of WTAG that in the beginning the idea was about together female leaders to find the role models to build our new ecosystem. But we created role models inside the community and we help them to become role models. And it's quite interesting. For example, we have 7,000 participants. To manage this community, which is huge right now, we are represented in 40 countries. So to manage this, we need to have the team, but also we need to have the volunteers who can help us. And right now we have more than 100 volunteers like this, who are partners, who are our WTAG partners in all these countries.
I had goosebumps all over my body when you said this moment that, okay, we started with thinking of, I will gather women and we'll find role models for them. And then how that evolved into we actually created role models within the community. I think this is the power of it, of building something like this when you are gathering around the idea, like you said in the beginning about the communities and why they're important. When we have common values, and we start growing together, supporting each other in that on the journey, then we realize that we are role models ourselves. We don't need to look further. And we just need to believe in ourselves more and have that confidence in ourselves. Or look into the women around us, the first connections, right? We don't need to look up at the person who's made it to the very top. Like, you know, like some people say, like, Oprah is my role model. Absolutely. But to me, it doesn't click because she's just too far on the journey. And of course, I can compare myself to Oprah, I don't know, in her 90s, because that's more my stage. But it's still 30 years of experience and it's difficult to connect those dots. But when we find the role models to relate to, which we can do much easier in these communities because we come together and we open up for each other, it becomes so much easier to grow together. It becomes this beautiful snowball effect of growing together because we lean onto each other's experiences. We look at each other who is like one step ahead. It doesn't have to be 100 steps ahead, right? But this one step ahead can help us with our next step. And then someone else in the community thinks that we are one step ahead. It could be for a particular part of the career and so on and so forth. So that becomes much, much more valuable interaction than just bringing an inspirational speaker who, yeah, is inspirational, but most people in the audience cannot really relate to their story because they feel like the gap is too big. So what you've created there was really the magic of growth, or this magical formula or secret for growth, in my eyes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you a lot. Without your podcast, maybe I would never thought about it, you know? So thank you.
My pleasure, Ruslan. This is one of the best moments for me with the podcasting. Of course, it's when Genius Leaders write to me about that some episode came at the right time for them to answer their question, to address their challenge and so on. But, podcasting is a bit of a silence or a kind of one-way street more often than not. A lot of people are listening but never interact with me. So I just tend to choose to believe that it's helpful. But then these moments when the guests are saying, like, I've never seen this from this perspective, or this just, like, I never thought about it this way, and so on and so forth, that gives me the energy that I need to keep going with the podcast. Because if I created some small aha moment for you, that means that the Genius Leaders listening will also get a lot of aha moments. So thanks for sharing that feedback.
Yes, it's true. But it's like in public relations or journalism, you know, when you're doing the interview, it's the process, of course, the process of thinking, the process of reflection. And it's very useful and it's very healthy sometimes to be questioned and to answer with all heart. What is the truth for you?
Definitely. So, dear Genius Leaders, if you're building a company, if you're building a personal brand, then think about it that PR is not only about promoting your idea outwards. It's like what Miroslava just said. It's also about strengthening your ideas inward and getting maybe new perspectives, new points of reflection, so that you can strengthen your brand because you have more conviction in it. Miroslava, I want to ask you about this general problem that we see in the world, that women are underrepresented in many areas. For example, the venture capital, only 1% globally or so, fluctuates around that 1%, goes to female founders or female-led teams. We have had those conversations for years now, but still it feels like we're not moving forward. And actually, some statistics globally shows that after COVID, we have gone backwards with the development of equality, inclusion in our society and in tech in particular. What do you think are we doing wrong? What are we missing in this conversation to actually create solutions?
It's also a very good question. I think that very important thing is that for changing the diversity problem, we need to be, all of us, we need to be in dialogue. You see, when we are speaking about women in tech or women in business, and when we are looking, for example, on the panelists at the conference, who you will see women speaking about women in tech problem. Sorry, but where are other genders? We need to have the dialogue, and also all of us, we need to be involved and to understand that it's really the problem. And we need to find the solution also together. And also, I notice it in our community. For example, we have some events that are closed only for our participants. For example, some breakfast. We just don't have a lot of space, for example, to invite everyone. But usually, when we have meetups or some events, we invite also men to be with us, to listen, or to be to be mentor, to be partner, or just a listener. So we don't close our doors for them, because I think that only if we will be in the same room, in this case, it's possible to have the change.
I have been talking about it for several years that, especially in the March month, every year, it feels like we're trying to promote women, we try to talk about women, but we make it quite exclusive. So it's women talking about it. It does not feel welcoming for men. And I know that that is triggering for some women to hear, but I do feel like we're just doing ourselves a disservice when we try to build this narrative of us and them, and the men are so dominating, they are so privileged in this world. Yeah, in some ways they're privileged, in some ways they are the more miserable, I would say, than women, because our society is built in a way that they cannot share with each other, it's not normalized, and so on. And then it becomes hurt people hurt people. When men are not allowed to be their full selves, because we're not welcoming that as a society, they don't have the motivation, they don't have the energy to actually be more inclusive, because they don't feel included either. So I'm happy that you're talking about that as well, and that you're promoting, inviting men for different roles when it's open events of WTech, because we need more of these conversations where everyone is coming to the table as equals to see that we all have this problem and we are all but possibly or potentially a part of a solution. So with that, you already said that this is one of the ways to try to start improving the situation of actually inviting men and other genders to the conversation. Is there anything else from your 6 year of experience with WTech that is helpful that we can actually keep working on to improve the situation? Any steps, any actions, some initiatives that maybe you've seen being very successful?
I'm just thinking that it's very important that it might be not only on the level of corporation or on the companies. I think that also the countries needs to speak about, to have the laws, for example, about maternity, paternity leave, about the flexible hours. So there, the changes might be not only on the level of corporate life. Unfortunately, I forgot these statistics, but I remember that some Scandinavian country, they had before there's a huge difference between salaries between men and women. And then after when they had the law that men and women might go to their maternity, paternity leave equally, the gap became almost 0%. Because also the leaders of the companies, when they had the interviews with potential candidates, they didn't see in women just the person who can leave to have the child. They knew that it's equal, it's equality between men and women. So it could be also one of the options how to change this. And also I think that it's a power of communities. For example, the big companies, corporation like Google or Amazon, they have their own communities because there's huge companies to promote diversity, to support women in tech. But it's complicated to have the same access for the small and medium business. So for them, they need to be more proactive and to participate in such communities. Like, for example, WTechs, we are totally independent, but we are open for them. And we can teach, we can share our expertise and to do some, for example, trainings for them, but also they need to ask for us to give this information or to share this knowledge.
Yeah, there becomes this kind of chicken and egg.
Yes,
a bit of men could be interested about the topic and they want to be willing, or they might be willing to work on that with their companies, but then they're afraid of asking because. And that was experience of one of my previous guests. He's the interview with Gunnar Risting. It was one of the first interviews I did 3 years ago. That really defined how I see equality and how I see my role in promoting that for all of us. And he noticed that he was usually one of the few or the only men at the equality events. And he started talking to his male friends and colleagues and asking, are you not interested in that? Or why are you not joining these seminars and workshops? And it turned out that men were interested, but they were afraid of joining those rooms to A, not take space there, because it's like, okay, it's about women. We don't want to come and take space in those rooms because we're already kind of, supposedly having more space to express ourselves in the professional lives. Or they were like, I'm curious, but I'm afraid of asking any questions because everyone will just hiss at me and like, you don't know that. And it's like, it's such a beginning question, like, or be offended by the questions. So what he started doing within the company that he was working at, or still is working at, they started doing male-only lunch conversations about equality. So they would only invite male colleagues or employees of their company, and they would do workshops. They would invite external speakers. They would collect stories from the female employees about when they didn't feel equal, they didn't feel included, and they would anonymize those stories and bring them as the cases to those lunch meetings. So that men would like see that, oh, this is some story of one of my colleagues. And I might have been a contributor to her feeling uncomfortable, unwelcome, and so on here. And these conversations really lower the threshold for them to feel like we may not ask questions because they're too obvious or something like this. So, and then the conversations in the mixed settings within the company has changed completely because men felt a bit more confident to ask questions, a bit more curious about it, and so on. And I think we need more of these initiatives where men feel like they are welcome to be part of a solution, and we need to allow them to make mistakes on the journey. We don't beat ourselves, beat our kids up, hopefully, when they start learning to walk and they fall down. And we're like, how stupid are you? You'll never be able to walk or anything like this. No, we support our kids. We help them to learn. And that's something what we need to do in the equality conversation as well, I think.
I like your ideas. Yes, I think it would be great to do something like male lunches. To speak about diversity, maybe it will be just, you know, like our next step or next community. We will see.
Please do. It could be like, you know, men chapter of WTech. And I think in the beginning it might be scary for men to join, but once they see that that is the space for them to learn and to become part of the solution, then it will democratize this conversation and make it less exclusive, as I said earlier. I've been trying to promote it for some Women in Tech networks I know, to make men-only panels about that. So male leaders, male politicians who are trying to work on the solutions, just to make it more inclusive for men to come and be part of the audience. No one has taken it up, this idea. So if you manage that, Miroslava, I would be forever grateful for you because we do need to change the narrative that way.
I will try.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you as well about your experiences with WTech. It's been existing for 6 years, and quite interestingly, it's been three different periods within those 6 years. So in the beginning, you had, let's say, normal life to operate within, and then you had 2 years of pandemic going on, and then you had 2 years of the full-scale war going on in Ukraine. So do you see difference in how you have acted, what the role of the community has been to the members within those two-year periods, or has it been similar so far?
Yes, it was extremely long, 6 years. That's the truth. Yeah, if to back in time, of course, when we started community, the idea was primarily to help female leaders to find their place in tech industry. And we did a lot of offline events. Oh, it was a great time. And we started from Kyiv, and then we opened chapters in 12 cities in Ukraine, including Kharkiv, Mariupol, Odessa, Lviv. It was amazing. It was great. We wanted to unite Ukrainian girls around country, you know, because it's also not the same perspective of the business in the cities. So to mix experience a little bit. And also, you know, that inside the country, you all the time travel a lot for business. So it was just a great idea to help them to find the right connections inside the country. So it was enormous amount of events. And the main thing for our participants, it was networking. So they came to the events, they met other participants, they met mentors, speakers. It was a supportive environment, and it was great like this. Then when it was COVID, of course, no offline events, nothing. Everything went online, and we, in that time, we had another mission. It was two missions, one or even three. So one, it was to help them to digitalize their work, their companies, businesses, and just how to make it everything online. The second thing, it was about mental health, because it was complicated not to be crazy, you know. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. So it was new for us, yes, to take care about mental health. We had we tried to support our participants in this. And the third thing, of course, a lot of people lost their job, and in that time, we understood that we really need to help to find new solutions for our participants. And so it was during 2 years. Then we have something like 1-2 months, this is between COVID and full-scale war of normal life. And then the full-scale war started in Ukraine, the first month, this is our like main mission was just to support in everything what we could, just to support mentally, to support with donations, to support. Then we understood that also we are a business community, and we are the most effective in helping our participants in business opportunities. And of course, the role of women changed a lot right now in Ukraine. Because if men needs to stay in Ukraine, and most of them, they just can't leave the country. So women started to work more in fundraising, in business development, in selling. So the role changed in companies a lot. And right now women is like in front of economic situation. So that's why we decided to open the branches of WTech around the world. Right now it's 40 countries, just to follow our participants and to support them in that places where they are right now. And even if they're our participant right now, for example, in Kyiv, but she still needs to have the fast connection with Europe, with US, with Asia's markets. And it's easier to connect, you know, like Ukrainian to Ukrainian around the world, and just to find the new solution. And right now we have the next chapter. Everything was about Ukrainian to Ukrainians, but also it works perfectly, but we need to open right now our doors, we can say like this, to local participants around the world. In this case, we can mix our experience to share what we have with the local communities, what can help us with better work opportunities in one side, but in another side, we're also like brand ambassadors of our country. And it's very important I think that right now we are ready more than ever to show that we are really amazing professionals, and we can help in our country and all the, we can say, economic world to gain our common targets, we can say like this. We just need to work all together.
Definitely. I used to say, before the full-scale invasion, when I would give interviews on podcasts or come in some communities to do lectures, I would always start an introduction with, I'm Ukrainian, living in Iceland. And that was the face or top reason for that was to explain that I'm used to be an outsider in the room. So I'm used to be the different one. But for me, the hidden agenda was always to present Ukraine from the right perspective, because I knew that I would do a good job with the interview. I would provide value for people. And I wanted in their subconscious to have an association between value and Ukraine. So for me, it was a bit of like, oh, I'm not talking about it like as I'm officially a brand ambassador of my country, but I really wanted to start building those narratives that it's not only about, I don't know, pretty women who marry guys around the world or whatever the stereotypes are. I wanted to show like we actually can provide a lot of value. And then it changed in 2022 with a full-scale invasion and our women mainly leaving the country to seek safety somewhere else. I've heard from so many internationals how fascinated and how much in awe they were of Ukrainians who are driven. I actually worked here in the first couple of months of the war for a government agency to help them handle all the newcomers and help them settle here. And the women I worked with who've been in social services for 13 or 20 years, they were shocked. They were saying like, wow, these women, they ask completely different questions. Like when immigrants come from the other countries, they ask for how long can we be on the social support? How much can we get? Can you provide housing for us or whatever? Our women were asking like, how can I start the business? How much do I need to have? When can I start working? What are the conditions for me to start working? And so on and so forth. And people were really shocked by that. And I realized like, okay, with this kind of, with this mission of mine, I can a bit sit back a bit and relax. I don't need to promote my country anymore. Unfortunately, by the need, but a lot of people are doing it nowadays around the world. So I almost felt ashamed trying to say that I'm from Ukraine to not kind of ride the wave of amazing people who left the country. I already lived abroad at that moment. So I felt like, okay, this role is now taken by millions of the others. And for good and for bad, right? I hope that we nowadays are establishing those very strong relationships, business relationships, culture relationships with all the countries where Ukrainians are, so that whenever the war is finished and everyone can return back home, we can continue building on that, on those relationships and connections and continuously strengthen them for the economic growth, as you said, both in Ukraine and abroad, because we have a lot to provide. So how are you doing that right now when you're saying that the next basically stage is not about connecting Ukrainians between different chapters, but actually connecting the local chapter Ukrainians with the locals? Is it more that you're trying to promote events to the local communities? Do you collaborate with the other local communities? What are your strategies there?
The main strategy is to collaborate with the local communities. I think it's the best what we can do, because it's also, it's like a growth hacking. You know, we can do something really slow and by ourselves, or we can do something fast, making partnership with the same communities. So I'm choosing this variant because we also, we can do a lot of cool, great things together, I suppose. And I can say that mostly local communities are very supportive and very open to us. And we have already started such collaborations around the world. So I think that right now we have like the KPIs for our volunteers team for each country to find like one community, friendly community with which they can develop some events, connections, networking.
Collaborations. So Genius Leaders, if you want to be part of the mission of WTech and you know of some local communities that would be a good fit, please let Miroslava and her team know. I guess that's what we can do for each other to help us grow both as individuals and communities and on a broader business and societal scale. All right. Apart from this next step for WTech, what else is on your mind these days as a leader, as a woman? As the PR expert helping so many businesses in Ukraine to promote themselves?
Oh, to tell the truth, I have a lot of things on my plate right now. Of course, DoubleTech is my soul, and I love this community a lot. But also working in public relations globally and having community globally, it helps me to see the pictures in global perspective, we can say, and gives me a lot of connections and understanding how tech industry and ecosystem works around the world. So for me right now, the next step, I would like to develop more in mentorship and to help startups or individuals to build their narrative, to build their story, to teach or to help them how to globalize their companies or themselves around the world, how to be known everywhere, how to find the target audience everywhere where they need. So it's like a mission for me right now. And I would like to do also several education projects about this. And also I started to be the mentor in several accelerators, for example, like Techstars in Paris and some others. So I keep working in Ukraine a lot, but still I'm working a lot globally, and I'm trying to mix this in a good way for everyone. And when you have such perspective of the things, like inside and out, it's cool to share.
I'm sure, Miroslava, you can bring so much value from the perspective of resilience, what Ukrainians are known for nowadays, but also, as you say, the global perspective on the tech industry, all the experience of yours with the building the community through WTech. You're also part of the PR Army. And it's an initiative that has started with a full-scale invasion, trying to bring the more real news, the more representative picture of what's going on in Ukraine. With that hat of yours, just a question for our listeners who are, I have a lot of listeners in Sweden. I have Iceland, US, other European countries. Sometimes Canada comes up as well. What do you think is the important message for us from the PR Army perspective to deliver right now about Ukraine?
I think very important message is to help Ukraine to be on top of the news, because after 2 years, we need to work even harder, because it's also informational war. And I believe that if it will be more Ukrainian voices in the media, it will be, we need to be heard. Because right now, when journalists, for example, when they're crafting the stories, they need some people to answer the questions, but then that maybe they don't know a lot of Ukrainian names who can answer these questions. And they pick the speakers around the world, and they're avoiding, maybe subconsciously, but they are just not asking correct questions, correct people. So we need to help Ukrainian voices to be on top of the news.
Is there any database of experts on different matters that the journalists can use for that?
Yes, actually there is a database, and it's on the website of Public Relations Army, PR Army. And the journalists can find the database, or they can have the connection with the team, and they can help them to find the speakers, or to do the also a checking, fact checking of the speakers, because sometimes you know how propaganda works. You, a journalist can speak with a person who would be, like we can say, Ukrainian or represent Ukraine, but it could be just as someone from that country.
So it's good to know that there is some help that the journalists can reach out to. But I think it's also not only about the journalism as public media, right? We all have influence. We all have our audiences and followership. So promoting Ukraine, sharing those stories on whatever channels we have, it doesn't have to be an official publication. And using these resources that PR Army has, for example, is a very important part. And by now, it could be the stories of the Ukrainians who moved and started their own businesses or are getting in, like continuing building their careers in a new place. And those stories can also bring the conversation back to the top and remind people that, yeah, there is still war. Yes, these people are here. They're not using the system or misusing it. They're actually trying to contribute while they can't do it directly in Ukraine. So more of these stories need to be heard, as you said, Miroslava. And Genius Leaders, you all can be part of building those stories and bringing them to the light. So if you see any news like that, share them with your audiences. Just simply reach out to Ukrainian, you know, or have heard of, and ask them and share your insights from the conversation with your friends on Facebook. That can also help us as the country to continue winning this information war, first and foremost. Miroslava, anything we haven't covered so far which you think is very important to leave our Genius Leaders with as the message?
I think it's just important to keep believing in ourselves and to try, you know, to write, to lightening other people with our belief, without knowledge, and just to keep moving.
Do you have any strategies or tools that you're using yourself on the days when you feel like that belief in yourself is not on top, it's not on the surface? How do you dig deeper to get to it?
Oh, it's complicated, to tell the truth. I think that no one, really none has an answer to this. Sometimes we have doubts in ourselves, and it's normal. We are just human being, and it's also normal sometimes to be sad or to doubt. But it's just a question how long. If it's just a couple minutes or one day, it's nothing. If we are doubting ourselves every day, in this case, we need to find the solution. My solution is have, for example, mentor. And it's very important just sometimes just to speak with someone smart to understand if you're in a good place, if you're doing the right things. And I think with the guidance of another smart person, we can do even more. And also sleep and sport. Sleep, sport, and good food.
Amen to that. I feel like I'm a parrot talking about the most obvious things on this show about the importance of the foundations and those basic things. But hey, common practice, like common knowledge is not common practice, and common sense is not common practice. Everyone knows about those things, but not everyone follows them. So yes, it's important to nurture our body with right foods, to move our bodies, and to give it enough rest and sleep. So very important point. Thanks for mentioning that, Miroslava.
Thank you a lot.
Anything you would like to our Genius Leaders to check out afterwards? I'll of course put the link to the Slova and WTech, but anything else that you want people to check out after listening to us?
No, I think everything is fine. You can all the time find me. I think that you will share all my links. So if you want to have a dialogue, I'm open.
Thank you so much for this conversation, Miroslava. And to you, Genius Leaders, I want to remind, as always, that I see you, I feel you, I love you. And I do believe that we can all be part of the solution, not only part of the problem. Whatever problem is on your mind these days, think that you are part of the solution as well. And find one tiny step to take today to be closer to that solution. Love you, and talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Genius Leadership Podcast. If you enjoyed the conversation, hit the subscribe button. Please rate, review, and share to help more people discover the show and become the better leaders. For more conversations about living in your zone of genius, connect with me on LinkedIn. Genius Leadership is an honors conversation about leading yourself and others, and it is my honor to be a guide in overcoming everything.